was rats. You're not gonna let me roll that though?
Yo, fuck nah, that man, shit, bro. Sucks,
build that shit up.
Yeah, I got another blunt right here though.
Alright, don't know.
Hold that shit. Whatever. I got a split for this nigga six.
Word up. Like that shit. Word up.
Yo, I take a hit of the weed and catapult to the pinnacle. Way past the physical, your raps and whole style is pitiful, so quit it. I make your tape sound like an interval, now dig it. I'm breaking shit down to the minerals, funky syllables hitting your equilibrium when I be kicking them fat raps all over the track. And yes, I represent the north side of the map. T.O. one time where you at? Flipping crack out the traps in the hood, couldn't picture that. So I put the crack on wax, started pitching that 24/7. Never look back, I got the grain. Who got the snaps on the snacks? And the flows like wasabi. Ain't nobody told us I be. Cause most these niggas rapping, faking the funk and looking sloppy like Joe's. I eat them up, I got the munchies. Then sip the juice, play the
cut. Hello and good evening to everyone tuning in with us tonight. Happy spring, happy Tuesday, and welcome back to another episode of The Interlude. Today, we are joined by an artist, an amazing writer, the visionary behind Augusta Avenue clothing brand and Baker's Club's very own The Six Letter Six. How are you doing tonight?
Magnificent, man. Just having a great time. Thank y'all for having me.
Of course. I love hearing that. Six, when did your relationship with music begin?
Ooh, that's so my relationship with music, I'd say it began when I was a young boy. I was probably like, let's see. I can't put a number, like an age on it. All I know is that I was really young. And ever since I can remember, my mom and my uncle were very, 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 very into like hip hop, R&B. And then you would have like reggae and dancehall. So like that whole like atmosphere just growing up in like my mom's house and then like my cousins and that kind of thing, just always hearing music and traveling in different cars. I was always hearing music and I was thoroughly intrigued by it. I was like, what is this? And how do they do this? So ever since then, I've kind of just been trying to like, you know, figure it all out along the way. So yeah, man, I've as long as I can remember, I've been into music.
That's really cool. And when you were a kid growing up, being surrounded by the music your family brought you up around, did you always know that you wanted to stick with music and go into music as a passion, or were there a few bumps in the road? So
at that time, growing up as a kid, I just wanted to hear more and learn more about it. Like, I just wanted to know how it was done, but I wasn't even thinking of the fact that, like, I want to pursue it, per se. It was more so just like, yo, this is really cool. Like, I want to do, like, listen to this and share it and show other people these things all the time. But as far as, like, really pursuing music and when I decided that I wanted to do that, I'd probably say when I was about, I want to say maybe like 10 or 11, which was around 2003. Yeah, around like 2003, I was like, yo, this is like, it's getting really like cool. Like, I want to try this out, but I didn't know how. But I wanted to, but I didn't know how. So around 2003, I was like, nah, I want to do some music. Yeah.
So if you didn't know how, where did you start? What was the first thing you picked up? And you're like, this is it.
Yeah, so in terms of actually like really like getting started with the creation of music, it just came from being around a lot of my friends in high school. I want to say, you know what, it started for me a little bit before high school. I want to say around 2006-07, I was like eighth grade, transitioning into ninth as like a freshman in high school or whatever. Yeah, I was around a lot of my basketball homies and stuff. One of my homies, Dante, he used to live in Etobicoke. So we'd go by his house and his parents had like a really huge house. So it was like it was amazing going there as a kid. It's like an escape from downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
Kind of like in the suburbs a little bit. So like, I don't know if it was like abandoned, but there was like this parking lot almost, but like it was a lot that had a lot of like vintage luxury cars.
Okay.
And somehow like a few of them were unlocked. So we used to go in there and like smoke weed inside the cars. And like this whole time, we're always listening to music on and off or whatever. So we used to go in there and smoke weed, and like he would turn like random like beats on, like instrumentals, and then just like start freestyling. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of like cool. I want to try it too. And like, it just happened like that. It literally just came out. And like every weekend we would go back to his house, and it's kind of like a recurring thing that we do, like once a week kind of thing. And occasionally during school, but it started with the freestyles. I just like was saying whatever and it rhymed. I'm like, I didn't know I can do that. This is kind of cool. I want to keep going. And then eventually, like some years later, I tried to get back serious into it and really trying to write it down and think about it, as opposed to just like saying whatever comes to your mind kind of thing. Yeah,
that's really cool. So you just kind of threw yourself right into it. And
yeah,
that's cool to think about, because most people sit there and set up a plan and say, okay, I'm good at this, so let me try this and let me capitalize off that. And you're just in a car with your friends and said, you know what, this beat sounds cool, let me just get on it.
Yeah. And there was a few times prior where like I wanted to so bad, but I didn't like just do it. I was like, oh, I don't know if I could do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll just watch them do it and react to their stuff. But then like one day I was like, okay, I'm going to do it today. I'm ready for this. Like I had to like psych myself up a little bit going to like his house before we got the car type thing. And yeah, man, it was
fun. You woke up that day and said, today's the day. Yep. I'm going to do it.
Yep.
That's cool. When it comes to creating music and being an artist and a musician, everything that comes with it.
Yeah.
What would you say is the hardest part about creating, to you at least, whether it's writing, instrumentals, etc.?
That's an interesting question. Like the hardest part about creating music, I want to say at times it can be the beat, because the beat is like the canvas. You get what I'm saying? So it's like finding the right canvas to really like have as the background to express what you want to express. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes like, for example, I'm in the process currently of creating an album called Get Baked. It's like a playoff of the Biggest Club Rolling Papers. And certain beats, if I'm not in that mode or like mood and vibe, I can't write to it. So I feel like at times that's the hardest thing, because it's like, say I'm having a really stressful day and it's like a upbeat kind of like happy, you know what I'm saying, kind of like song. I can't like really attend to that in that moment. I have to be in that, you know, sometimes I have to force myself to get into that vibe, and it gets tricky. So I would say that's the hardest part, is really like writing to something if you're not really in the mood or the vibe to write to that specific beat kind of thing, you know?
That's a beautiful way of putting it, in terms of looking at music through an art lens and sitting there and realizing that everything you've written and your words is, it's poetry, you know what I mean? And when you sit there and you write and this song that becomes your baby, you can't just slap it on any beat. So when you put it together as like the canvas and finding something to put it on, it's really shows music as an art form.
Yeah.
And when it comes to you, clearly your relationship with music runs deep within your roots.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe music as an art form more than the actual just music that plays at clubs, plays through the radios, but music as expression, music as something to channel your emotions through?
It's like a diary almost, you know what I'm saying? It's like to a certain extent, depending on the kind of artist that you are, you have to have a certain level of vulnerability, you know what I'm saying, and transparency, where it's like the listener is going to listen to this and be like, okay, this is a human being I'm listening to. This is not some like, you know, superstar that's up in the air. Like, I can't even touch this guy. I would never like in a day of my life, like come across this guy on the road or in person type kind of thing. Like, I'll never get where he is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, his life just seems so perfect and he never has any like negative emotions or things he has to deal with, like that kind of thing. So being vulnerable and transparent really like opens up the doors for the listeners to really connect and resonate with what you're creating as an art form. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, the music is always an expression to me. Like the people that resonate with it, they know what it is, you know? So you really just got to be yourself, be true to who you are, you know?
So talking about your relationship with music, how did it start with Baker's Club?
At some point, I feel like it was around this time. No, it's a bit early. I want to say about like maybe May, June, 2010. One day I woke up, and around this time, I was just starting to record for the first time. Like I was always writing and freestyling here and there, but I never actually went to a studio. I didn't know anything about like the recording process, none of that. All I knew was like the YouTube videos, watching my favorite artists in the studio. I used to do that a lot. Like go to YouTube and type in like Pharrell Williams in the studio or like Snoop Dogg in the studio, like that kind of thing. Wu-Tang, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so different ball game.
Exactly. Like when you're really on the court kind of thing, it's like, oh shit. You know, so yeah, I had just started recording. I might have like recorded my fourth or fifth song ever. And I went to worldstarhiphop.com one day and I saw this post and it was like the headline said, what was it? Something about like youth talent of the week or something like that. And it was like the 15-year-old rapper and producer from Brampton. And I was like, what? So I clicked it and I'm like, oh, this is dope. And at the time I was really like fond of these artists from the States called the Cool Kids. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. So like I was really in that realm of the Cool Kids and like the Neptunes kind of production that's really like futuristic but retro at the same time and just really like left of center, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I heard the beat. I'm like, damn, this is dope. He made this beat. Like, what? Like, I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really taking it in. I'm taking his lyrics. And like, he was really confident in front of the camera and what he was saying. I'm like, yo, this guy is, I like this guy. So I found him on Twitter and I messaged him and said his stuff was dope. And I asked him how I would go about getting some beats from him. Cause at this time I was trying to like formulate my very first mixtape. So I wanted more beats that were original. I didn't want to just rap on like random YouTube stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? I wanted the original stuff to make real songs. So he's like, yo, send me some of your work. I sent him a couple of joints. Mind you, this is like just the first like I've ever recorded. And he heard them. He's like, yo, this is dope. You got a lot of potential. I like it. Here's a couple of beats. So he sent me like 2-3 beats. I started writing to them, recorded, send them back. He's like, yo, this is crazy. What do you think about this one? He was like, oh, I'm making a beat right now. I'm sending you like 5 minutes. So he sent the beat and he's like, oh shit, yo, I have a verse for it. I'm like, how did he have a verse so fast? Like, that was my first thought. I'm like, wait, what? So he sent me the verse, like maybe like another 10, 15 minutes after he sent the beat. Mind you, I'm still sitting listening to the beat. Like, okay, how am I going to rap on this? Like, I'm just like, you know, just getting my feet wet in this thing. And the verse he sent was dope. I ended up recording my verse that weekend, sent it back to him. He was like, yo, this is amazing. Let's shoot a video. I'm like, all right, cool. My homie has a camera. Let's meet up Tuesday, whatever. Say it was Saturday. I'm like, let's meet up Monday or Tuesday, whatever. He's like, all right, Tuesday works. I don't have school that day or some shit like that. So he came downtown with one of his homies named Tashane. And that was my first time meeting Raz in person. It was like when he came downtown to shoot the video. So we went to Eaton Center and one of my homies was supposed to film the video for us. So we're all in Eaton Center waiting for him. Just walking around the mall and stuff, like cracking jokes. And then my homie calls me, he's like, yo, like some family emergency thing came up. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to film today. So I relayed the message to Raz and he's like, oh, fuck. Like, that's disappointing because he was really excited to film this video and just keep the ball rolling because he had a nice little momentum going on his end too.
Mm-hmm.
A couple minutes have passed. He's like, yo, why don't you just ask him if we could use the camera? You know what I'm saying? I told him, like, he's in the area, but he's just busy with like some family stuff. And he's like, why don't you just see if we could just use the camera? So I'm like, all right, fuck it. So I hit him back and he's like, yo, meet me around the corner. So boom, we go around the corner. I get the camera. I'm like, all right, I'm holler at you when we're done. And then we ended up just filming the video ourselves. So I filmed the scenes where Raz was like performing and rapping to the camera. He filmed the scenes where I'm rapping, performing to the camera. And his homie Tashane that came with him filmed the scenes with both of us together in the same frame kind of thing. And then I dumped all the footage on my computer when we got home. Sent it to Raz and he put the video together himself and sent it to World Star Hip Hop and it ended up premiering there. Like, I don't remember how long after that, maybe like a week or so. And yeah, it like went viral. It had like a million or something views. And I was just like, holy shit, this is my first time ever like in a music video. Like, it's like, this is crazy. And like, I'm very familiar with Worldstar Hip Hop. So it was a big deal. So like a lot of people in my high school and my neighborhood is like, yo, I saw you on Worldstar Hip Hop. Yo, keep it up. Like Facebook, all that shit, you know? So I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool. So yeah, that was really like the start of it. And I wasn't like official Bakers Club member or any of that stuff. I was just like an affiliate. I was just getting to know Raz kind of thing. Like I fuck with this guy. And I feel like one of the moments that really like solidified things for us was when I say maybe like 2-3 months later, I got the opportunity to perform for the first time. And it was actually a guy named Johnny Shipes, who was, I don't know if he still is, but was the guy who discovered Joey Badass and was his manager. So the time that I'm speaking of was before he discovered Joey Badass.
Yeah.
He discovered him like a year later. So I found him on Twitter and I'm like, yo, like, how do I, cause I think he had made a tweet. He's like, yo, I'm looking for new talent. I just want to hear some new music or whatever. So I'm like, yo, what's your email? So I sent him a bunch of stuff and like, he was like fucking with it too. He kept like emailing me back. He's like, yo, everything you record, send it to me. So I just kept sending it. Every time I went to the studio, I'll send him stuff. And I'm just like in class reading these emails, like, oh my gosh, this guy's like really like fucking with my shit. This is dope. Like, and I was familiar with him through this thing he had called Smokers Club, which was like, cause I was a fan of Currency and Wiz Khalifa and all those guys at the time. And like, he had this thing that he was formulating called Smokers Club. I'm like, yo, I watched all their YouTube videos. They're just hilarious. Smoking, cracking jokes and making like fire ass music. So I'm like, this is dope. But like, not everyone really understands how dope this is to me. You get what I'm saying? So time passes by. He's like, yo, we're coming to what we're doing a Smokers Club tour. And we're actually coming to Toronto. Like, I would love to have you open up. And I didn't know what that meant. Like, open up. And he's like, yeah, perform. I'm like, oh shit. All right. Like, let's go. Let's do it. And then, yeah, fast forward. It was like October, 2010. I think it was October 1st or 30th. It was one of those two dates. I can't remember. 1st, 10th or 30th. Cause I did this Smokers Club thing 2 years in a row. So I could be mixing the date up with the year after, but they were both in October. Anyways, October 2010, I get there. But prior to getting there, I hit up Raz about it. Cause I'm like, yo, like, I'm going to be performing. And on the bill was Currency, a rapper named Smoke Dizza, Big Crit, and Mac Miller. And I think there was somebody else. I could be wrong. But yeah, those four people. And then I was like, yo, like I have an opportunity to perform at this thing. And they're giving me a 30-minute set. And I was like, that's a lot of time for someone who's never performed. So I was like, okay, I have like a couple of songs that I'm comfortable with like bringing up to the, you know what I'm saying, to that platform. I think I performed maybe like 5 songs. And yeah, I just gave him time to do his thing too. It was like, let's split up the 30 minutes. He's like, yo, that's dope. Da-da-da, I'm with that. He's like, yo, one of my homies wants to come too. He's like, it's cool. Like, and at this time I had the song with one of his homies too. So I already know who the person was. I'm like, okay, great. Then we can perform that song that we have together as well. So it was Raz that came, his homie Shells and Mickey G. They were in a duo called The Foreigners, and all three of them are from Brampton. So I was the only one that's from downtown, and they came from Brampton. And you know what I'm saying? So boom, we all get to the show. We're backstage chilling with like fucking Currency, Smoke Dizza, Mac Miller, Big Crit. Like, it's just all like crazy. Wow. Fire. And yeah. The crazy thing too, and at this time I had no idea, but Raz already knew Mac Miller. Cause he was sending him beats, and Mac Miller was working on his first mixtape. Well, like not first, but like one of his biggest like mixtape. The mixtape that blew him up. It was called Kids.
Yeah.
He was working on that mixtape, and Raz and Mac Miller already had a song together, but it wasn't released yet. You know what I'm saying? So they were backstage talking about it. He's like, yeah, there's footage of this on YouTube, by the way. He's like, yeah, man, the music is da 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 da. Like the producer, the engineer was going crazy when I was recording. He's like, this beat is amazing. Who made this beat? Da da da. And it's like, yeah, we got all of that on film. And it was a really dope vibe just witnessing like artists that I'm fond of and like fans of, like in person, and how they are. Like, these are real people. You get what I'm saying? So I'm like really like just in the back soaking it all up. Like, wow, this is what it's like to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not like on some super famous shit, but like underground kind of like doing your thing rapper. Like, this is, I want to be like this. I don't want to be, you know what I'm saying? All over like, whatever. But yeah. And the relationship started to grow from there. Cause like Raz was a super fan of like Currency, and he got the opportunity to meet him as well. And I took a picture of both of them that night as well. Like, it was one of those things that was really sentimental for all of us. So I really think that that's when it all started, in sense of me being like an official Bakers Club affiliate before I was like an actual member. So yeah. 2010. It's a long-winded answer, but 2010. Man,
being in the presence of these artists and you watch them like over a screen so much, yeah, doing it big and doing what you want to do and then actually doing it with them. What was going through your head? What were you taking in that moment?
I was nervous as shit. I'm not going to lie. I didn't say much, but I made sure to express that, like, I was very thankful for what they were all doing individually. Like, yo, thank you for making the music that you make. Because that shit, it really, like, you know what I'm saying? It hit home for me. Like, hearing the songs that they would make, they just felt so good. It made me feel good at times that I wasn't feeling the greatest. You get what I'm saying? Like, it inspired me to just do better with myself and be myself. Because they're artists that didn't, like, conform or just try to fall into, like, the required, like, standard for, like, a rapper. Everyone has to, like, you know, shoot them up, bang, bang kind of thing. Like, they were just, like, stoners, bro. Like, everybody was just doing their own thing, smoking weed and just being themselves. Like, that was the illest shit about all of that. I was like, wow, like, you can do this? Okay, let's go. Like, I could do this. Like, I do this every day. This is me. You know what I'm saying? So, boom. It was like that. Yeah, and then, like, we got the opportunity to smoke with all of these guys, too. So I was high as fuck. So smoking with them and the amount of weed that we were smoking and in the one basement room, it was a lot. So I was high as shit in my head, like, wow. Like, just taking it all in and, oh, he's about to go perform. All right, I bet. So we'll all go follow him upstairs and watch from, like, the stage. Like, we're on the side of the stage watching him perform and seeing the crowd and everything and just, like, wow. Imagine, like, being on tour and getting to do this every fucking day. Like, that's the life. I just want to make music and perform it and smoke weed and fucking chill. That's
surreal.
So that was one of those moments that really, like, boosted my confidence in a sense of, like, yo, like, I can really do this. Like, take it in. Like, I had the opportunity to perform with, like, some of my idols for my first show ever. And I had just started making music a couple of months ago. Not even a full year had passed by. Since I, like, recorded for the first time kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? So that was really, like, a pivotal moment in my career, that show that night, yo.
To get a little deep, when hearing about the passing of Mac Miller, how did that affect you?
I'm going to be honest. I was devastated. I was actually with Raz when it happened. And we're just like, oh, fuck, that sucks. Because that's one of the people that was really... like, in the forefront when it came to just being yourself. You know what I'm saying? He was a dope artist, and he was well-rounded, you know? Like, he wasn't just a rapper. Like, he had, like, some wavy melodies. Like, he could sing if he wanted to. He could play instruments. Like, he could make beats. He was dope. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure he could probably, like, draw and shit like that too. I think I've seen some things on the internet in the past, but Overall, it was just, like, one of those people that was also close to us, too, because he had a relationship with Raz. So every now and then, like, him and Raz would exchange a few words, and it's just like, yo, when we get to a certain level, that's one of those people that's, like, going to embrace us in a genuine aspect, in a sense, as opposed to, like, someone just like, yo, you can do this for me? All right, I'll fuck with you. Come over here, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was really, like, sad to hear that he had passed away, because he was just, like, he just seemed so, like, not necessarily innocent, but the vibe was just so, like, real. And me and him were the same age, too. So that was another thing that, like, made me, like, confident. Like, yo, I could really do this. Like, if this guy's out here doing it, too, like, yo, I could do this shit. You know what I'm saying? So that was a sad thing, man. Rest in peace, Mac Miller.
He was just an extremely talented individual. And
he was funny as fuck, too. Like, in person, like, he's a funny guy. That guy was hilarious.
And, like, you're also right when you say that he really did kind of brand himself as himself. And especially... creating the music that he did.
He was really just a fan and a student. Most importantly, a student of hip hop. And it was clear. It was clear as day, yo. He knew what the fuck he was doing. And he knew the history of hip hop and all of that shit, man. It was dope to see someone like that get to the level that he got to. You know what I'm saying? From the underground. Because he started, like, really, like, you know what I'm saying? From the bottom and worked his way up. So that was a beautiful thing to witness, man. Rest in peace, Mac, for real.
Having an artist like that give you your first opportunity of making your dreams feel attainable and making them feel real. Do you often think about the way he carried himself and his persona and channel it into the way you carry yourself and the way you present Baker's Club and everything else?
I'm sure there's been moments in the past, say, like, I've heard a song prior to doing something specifically or seen a video or just hear the name. I remember the interaction we had that night at the show, because that was my first time meeting him and the last time like I ever saw him in person. So I just remember that night and how authentic everything felt. And it's like, yo, I want to make people feel that way when they meet me. You get what I'm saying? Because it's like, I obviously have fans and stuff like that all over the place, but it's like, not every day a fan meets their favorite artist and they're pleased with their interaction. You get what I'm saying? A lot of people, because I'm one of those people that like, I've met some of my favorite artists and I'm just like, the fuck? You know, afterwards I'm like, damn, like I like your music, man. But like, I don't think I'm going to be listening to it that much anymore. But I just never wanted my fans to get that reaction. I wanted them to be like, oh my God, Six is like, he's the best. He's like the realest, like down to earth guy. Like I resonate. I fuck with Six. You know what I'm saying? It's real genuine. I want to give them those vibes and memorable moments too. And just make sure that everything is genuine, natural, and authentic. I never wanted to force anything ever. You know what I'm saying? So whenever I do hear Mac's name or hear his music or whatever, or see his face in videos and pictures, I always just remind myself like, yo, you're doing a great job, man. Mac is dope. And at this point, we would have some amazing records, you know what I'm saying, if you were still alive and shit.
That point in your life, I'm sure, was a very big stepping stone.
Most definitely. That was the first. Matter of fact, that was the second. Maybe the third. Because I would say the first recording for the first time. And then it was the video with Raz, because of my first video. And then the performance was my first show. So I'll say that, yeah, it definitely was a big stepping stone for me.
And at that point in time, like, Worldstar was like,
oh yeah,
the thing. Like, if you went viral on Worldstar, you were A-list in your city, A-list in your community. So going through that and experiencing that, did you ever think that you would go famous on Worldstar and also be behind the camera at the same time? Or did you pick up cameras in your pastime? No,
not at all. I did want to like get into photography prior to that, like prior to taking the music seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, like I never thought that like I would be on Worldstar and like my camera work would be on Worldstar kind of thing. And it's crazy that you say that, because I feel like this is the first time ever that I really considered the aspect of my camera work being documented in that manner, like all over Worldstar for everybody across the world to see. I was more so stuck on the fact that like I'm on camera and it's me and my voice. You know what I'm saying? But nah, that's crazy. Yeah. I never thought that, because obviously I was watching Worldstar for like years before that. Like a fan of just, you know, when you're bored, you want to see some entertainment, you go online. It's either YouTube or Worldstar or your favorite blog at that time. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah, that was definitely a big deal for me. And it did a lot in my in my community in the sense of raising an awareness of like who I was and the fact that I am now an artist trying to take his thing seriously, you know?
And you also mentioned when you were talking about your experience with the Smokers Club, one thing that stood out about Mac was that he was a student of hip hop.
Yeah.
How would you explain the difference of being an artist and making music and being a student of the music you make and a student of the music that surrounds you?
For example, let me see if I could. Okay. So for example, and I don't want no shout out to everybody that makes music. Like I'm not trying to shit on anybody or downplay anybody, but there's like, it's two different like routes. I feel like there's way more now, but I'm just going to focus on two different things. So there's the people that make the trendy music, and it's like fast food. They go in the studio, they make it quick, 5 minutes, da da da, put it out. And they're doing it solely for notoriety and fame and prominence and, you know, trying to get a quick dollar, but go buy a chain and some fly clothes and get all the girls. Like a lot of people make music for that purpose solely. They don't care about who was rapping before them and who this person is from that era. And, you know, who was the first person to make this style popular, or like, I don't know. And like, for example, like there's methods of like recording. And there's methods of like different styles of like production and different things that get incorporated in like all this stuff that's been developed over the years. But a lot of people that make the trendy music and the fast food stuff, they don't care about what influenced the things that they're doing now, if that makes sense. They don't care about the history of hip hop. They just give a fuck about what's popping now. You know what I'm saying? And how they can pop like what's popping now. And then you have students of hip hop that go back to the very beginning and study it as if it were a subject in school. You know what I'm saying? And everything, even the new trendy shit, they study that too. And they take the best parts of everything and incorporate it into what they do. I feel like that's the true definition of a student of hip hop. Someone that really dissects everything from the producer, the engineer, the rapper, you know, the manager, the assistant, the label, like the friends. So everything that involves that's involved in the artist, they study that and know what the roles are and what they mean, who does what, how things came to be, like that kind of thing. Like those are real students of hip hop. And it was clear that Mac was one of those people, as I was, and so was Raz and everyone that we were there with. And we're like, yo, like I fuck with this guy. Like, and he's like, we're the same age. That was the part that kept tripping me out. Cause like, I didn't know people my age can like really, you know, I thought it happens for people when they get older and shit like that. Like it's rare that someone like my age would like, you know, but yeah, like it's, got to be a student hip hop man to really like know what's up.
I feel like students of hip hop and students of music in general focus more on perfecting their craft instead of just putting something out to have something out and have under their name.
And they focus on longevity too. They're thinking about the future as well as the past. Because like people that are really students of the game, I can't say that they would necessarily like sell out and do what's popular just for the sake of like doing what's popular and getting in that light or whatever. They're always thinking about their legacy. You get what I'm saying? How it's going to look in 10 years. Is it going to stand the test of time? Are people still going to care about this? You know, 10 years, 5 years, a couple months, couple weeks, couple days. They want their shit to last. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they're very much perfectionists as well. Yeah, I'll definitely say that.
I always talk about how when you're going on a journey and you're going on a process, you really have to disconnect from your end goal. Because if all you see is your goal, once you get there, it's so difficult to get past that certain goal. And when you focus more on your journey and the opportunities that arise from your journey and decisions you make, you become limitless. You guys... And when I say you guys, I mean the members of Baker's Club are very aware people. I've sat in on like some of your lives, some of Raz's lives, and you talk about teaching and prioritizing the youth and the lessons that you guys teach them, because yeah, that's where you start. That's where you bring up and you make greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And being aware that you are a teacher, but still a student of what life is giving you. How do you find a balance between that?
The balance in being a teacher of life at life and a student is really just like taking it a day at a time and just making sure that like whatever you're dealing with it in an equal manner. You get what I'm saying? You're dealing with it in inequality. For example, you wake up and you have like 10 different things that you want to accomplish or make progress in. You're going to dedicate a certain amount of hours to each thing, like 2 hours here, 2 hours there, 2 hours there, 2 hours there, and staying dedicated to that. And at the same time, finding time to further your knowledge on these things. Say you want to like get into engineering, or if, for example, you just want to play basketball or something, like studying that stuff. And how do you play basketball? What are the different rules? And you know what I'm saying? People that want to become A&Rs, managers, scientists, you know, like anything, like whatever it is that you want to do, just dedicating time to further your knowledge on that thing. And making sure that if you're serious about it, you accomplish these things. Every single day you're making progress, you know what I'm saying? And at the same time doing all of that, you have to stay true to yourself, you know? Because if you're not true to yourself, you're going to get lost in the sauce. So just finding that balance really comes from just taking your time and just making sure that you're spreading things out equally and just dealing with things in quality. You get what I'm saying? Because you have to stop, really look at it, think, do the knowledge of all these different things. Like, all right, cool. this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. But just don't get like overwhelmed or like, you know what I'm saying? Like lost in the sauce kind of thing. Cause when you take on a lot of different tasks and you're already like, you know, say you're not really at peace, like you're emotional about something and you have so many different things to do, then it becomes stressful. And when it becomes stressful, you can't really focus. You get what I'm saying? That's when a lot of different mistakes will happen. And then a lot of different things can be learned from those mistakes, but it also sets you off course just a little bit. And then if you continuously just a little bit, it's going to become a lot. You get what I'm saying? So try not to stress yourself about anything in life, because it will work itself out as long as you're making progress towards these different things and whatever needs to be attended to. You know what I'm saying? And that part is also, that's like being a student as well, because you're always intaking information. You have to be open to receive these things and learn them and realize that your mistakes aren't just failures. Like, they're lessons. You have to learn from this and not fucking make that same mistake again. You know what I'm saying? Because if you keep making the same mistake, then you're not learning anything. You get what I'm saying? So that's, I feel like that's the balance right there in between being a student and a teacher of life. Yeah.
And that answer alone is truly a testament to your teachings, because through you answering a question about being a student and teaching at the same time, you're still preaching at the same time. I don't know if you caught that. You're still sitting there and preaching your piece and preaching what you view and how you view things, because as an artist, it's valuable. It's valuable, especially to kids, watching someone grow up and take a non-traditional path, ignore the 9-to-5 business life and still be happy and create, which is, again, truly a testament to your character and your character as a teacher and a student. That was very well said.
Thank you.
When it comes to portraying yourself as a role model and as someone that people can look up to, do you ever find that it gets overwhelming at times?
I don't think so. I don't think that becomes overwhelming. Why? Because it's not like I have to put up a front. I feel like that kind of thing becomes overwhelming when people are acting.
Mm.
You have to continuously act and get into character. You get what I'm saying?
Of course.
So, for example, like me just being me and people trying to interact with me and like, you know, pick my brain about things or whatever. It's easy for me to do that because I'm passionate about me. You get what I'm saying? I'm passionate about myself and what I and the things I'm into and what I want to do and accomplish. Right. So you're always going to get a level of enthusiasm when it comes to those things when you interact with me. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily overwhelming. At times, it just really comes down to also having the time to attend to those kind of conversations and interactions. For example, like, you know, if I'm really busy and caught up with like recording or writing, per se, because when you got to do either or, you're really like locked in, you got to block things out. So in moments like that, like I can't respond to DMs and you get what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing is like more so if you see me in person. And I always stop. Like just the other day, I was in the dispensary. I think 2 nights ago, I was on my way out. So I already bought the weed I was leaving. And someone was like, yo, nice shoes. No, they said like, yo, those are dope. And I turned around. I'm like, what's dope? Because I have a whole bunch of different things I'm wearing. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, yo, the shoes. I'm like, as I was walking closer, I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks, man. And I dapped him. And it's like, that person also knew who I was. And then it just turned into this crazy, like, conversation. And we have tons of mutual friends. I was familiar with his clothing brand. He likes my clothing brand. I was like, what? It was just this crazy thing. It's like, yo, for years, I've been inspiring him, and I didn't even know. You know what I'm saying? Because I've never, like, seen this guy, but I've seen his work. So it was one of those things where it's like I was leaving. I was excited to go home and eat and smoke weed, but like I stopped. And you know what I'm saying? I have kids and all that. So there's other like responsibilities that I had to attend to as well. But like I stopped for a second. It's like, yo, like what's up? Like I'll talk to you. You know what I'm saying? I gave him like 5-10 minutes. And that's sometimes that's all it takes, you know? And he's always gonna remember that moment. and be like, yo, Six is a real dude. Like, he stopped, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't on some Hollywood shit, like, yo, let me keep it moving. Like, he stopped and had a real conversation with me, exchanged information and numbers, like phone numbers. You get what I'm saying? So it's like stuff like that, that can never be overwhelming for me because I enjoy that.
That's really cool to hear an artist's input on that, because you always hear the fans being like, oh, I saw so-and-so and I saw so-and-so. They were cool. They weren't cool. But to hear someone talk about their fans like they're a fan of them, that's real. And that's something that you don't come across in every artist, any musician. One thing I've been wanting to ask you, your creative process.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like for you? Is there a certain routine you have? Is there something that you have to have on you? Or is there a setting you got to be in? Like, what are your requirements?
When I was first starting, one of the very necessary requirements in my writing process was weed. But over time, I matured and grew out of that. So I don't need that to create. But it's always a bonus. You know, I love having weed around. So that's one of those things that the weed itself, sometimes the aroma, the scent, like the feeling, the texture, you know what I'm saying? How it looks can also inspire things when it comes to creating and writing. You know, I don't make beats. I used to try to make beats prior to meeting Raz. But since then, I'm like, you do all the beats. And you know,
he's damn good at it. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. So for the writing process, it's been different over the years because, like, at this point, I have like 12 years of experience. But I'm always remembering, like, in the very beginning, how hard it was for me because I was just trying to figure it out, you know, like, how do you rap? Like, you know, like, I feel like for the first couple of songs was like kind of like a fluke for me. I'm like, okay, like, that's dope. Everyone likes this, but like, what now? How do I do better than this? How do I keep going? But at this point, I just live life. Like, I have 3 kids, you know what I'm saying? I just play with my kids. I'm doing things around the house, you know, dad shit, you know, cooking, cleaning, that kind of thing. With them and little things, even the stuff that they watch, like, I'll have certain moments where things will inspire me, like even like a title of a song or an album cover idea, you know what I'm saying? A title, things like that. And I like to, like, you know, get a break from my current environment and space. So like I always bring my AirPods with me outside and I'm listening to either like my favorite artists that I like to listen to or beats, depending on the mood I'm in and what's going on or whatever, right? So like if I'm having beats in my ears, I'm always like, okay, I'm walking around just taking in the scenery, like the vibe, you know what I'm saying? Downtown, like I'm on Queen Street, so I'm like, I'm always, it's active, so there's always a lot of shit going on. So that's one of my favorite things to do, is just write while I'm outside. I just walk around and listen to beats, and like the flows will just start to come to me, certain words and melodies, you know. Sometimes I go back to my mom's house and I'll just sit on the steps because I spend a lot of time there. Like when Biggest Love was first getting started, I moved out of there like around 2015. You know what I'm saying? So, sorry, 17. So sometimes I just go back to the steps and just, you know, smoke some weed and just chill. If, like, the weather's nice, of course, I'll be outside on the steps just chilling and just taking it in. And I'm getting the vibe and the feeling like how it used to be. And just, you know, trying not to overthink things and just take it easy. As of late, one of my favorite things to do, this is a little secret, you know what I'm saying, to the artists out there watching. I know a lot of people do this with movies, but I prefer to do it with music videos. I have a beat on that I'm writing to, and I'll put a music video on. Like, say it's depending on the vibe of the beat or the song that you're trying to make, I'll put a series of videos that match that vibe, but put them on mute. So I'm watching the visuals while I'm hearing the beat. And I'm like, okay, this feels like one of those kind of like Wu-Tang joints. Like, you know, so I'll watch like the ice cream video and it's like, you know, I just see a whole bunch, you know, people, you know, like that kind of shit. I'm like, okay. Like I'm feeling that. And like, you know, I get the energy. And sometimes I like to envision myself performing the song on stage. So like, as I'm writing, like I'll act like I, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, like, or just mentally just envision it. Like, I'm on stage, like, all right, okay, this is how I'm going to project my voice. Cause like, I try to make sure that everything I write and record, I'm able to perform it without having to like really like run out of breath and kind of like miss certain lines because I have to catch my breath kind of thing. I like to just be able to project the whole thing like aimlessly, like, you know what I'm saying? Like flawlessly in an effortless way. And yeah, man, the writing process is lots of fun, and it depends on what you're really like working on and what your goal is. But there's different ways that I go about it. You know what I'm saying? It just really just depends on the mood I'm in and the circumstances, my environment, what I'm surrounded by, really.
It's actually funny that you mentioned how you like writing and being on the go, because I remember my first call with you. You're in the middle of the street, middle of downtown.
I was writing before, I mean, before I got on the phone with you. Yeah.
You mentioned that you had kids.
Mm-hmm.
What's something that you hope they take away from your journey as an artist as they grow up and watch you do all this?
Whatever it is that they want to do in life, take it serious and make sure that they stay true to themselves, you know? I feel like that's one of the things that I try to make sure that I implement in our interactions daily. And I just try to remind them, because they have moments, you know, kids are very impressionable. So they like to do what their siblings do. You know? So I have to remind them, hey, you're not him. You're you. You don't have to do that. If you don't really like that, you can do something different. You get what I'm saying? You don't have to play with that toy. What toy do you like? You like that one? All right, here you go. Play with that. That's your toy. And he has his toy. And if you guys want to share, which you should because you're brothers, you share your toys and have fun. You get what I'm saying? That kind of thing. Just making sure that they just enjoy themselves, man. And just be kids. You know, I've had so many moments where my kids are like, I want to be bigger. I want to be older. I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah, man. You don't want all these responsibilities. Not yet.
You know, enjoy the days.
Exactly. While it lasts, you know?
Of course. And my last question for you today, Six. If any local artist or visionary was listening to this right now and you could tell them one thing, one piece of advice that brought you to where you are now and where it's going to take you in your future, what would you say to them?
Don't give up. Don't give up, man.
Plain and simple.
As hard as the shit gets, whatever you're going through, there's always a brighter day. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been through some tough times, some dark times, but that's not the end of the road. Can't give up. Can't.
Talking to you today and hearing your story and your journey that is nowhere near ending is inspiring and truly enjoyable. Hearing someone with a raw and realistic view of life and just your transparency the whole time and being able to open up and talk about not only what you went through, but what it meant to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is valued and it didn't go unnoticed. And I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to sit here and talk to me. So I want to give you an opportunity to let the people know who you are, your ads, your socials, where they can find you. Where can they find the Six Letter?
All right. As y'all know by now, my name is the Six Letter and I'm a member of Baker's Club. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, all streaming platforms and YouTube, whatever. Just Google my name, the Six Letter, T-H-E, the number 6, T-H-L-E-T-T-R, and you'll find my stuff all over the place. And I got a lot of new music on the way, a couple albums in the stash, Six in the House album, which is a collaborative album between myself and my brother Brisk in the House. He's producing the whole thing from top to bottom, and we're rapping on every song together. Kind of like the brother from another album I did with Raz back in 2019. I also have an album called Get Baked, which is inspired by the Baker's Club Rolling Papers. You can get those at bakersclub.com. And yeah, man, lots of new vibes and all that good stuff coming soon from the Baker's Club. And Raz just dropped the Pocket Operations instrumental joint with the rap side too. You can check that out on bakersclub.com. Shit is crazy. Secret Wars album is crazy. Brisk in the House got a lot of new shit coming up too. And yeah, man, bakersclub.com. Everything you need to know and find out from us is there.
I'm personally so excited to hear that. And I know all of the listeners after listening to this interview are going to be beyond excited to listen to all of this. And I want to thank everyone who tuned in to listen tonight to another episode of The Interlude. Thank you so much. When I be kicking them fat raps all over the track, and yes, I represent the north side of the map. T.O. one time where you at, flipping crack out the traps in the hood, couldn't picture that, so I put the crack on wax, started pitching that 24/7, never look back. I got the grain, who got the snaps on the snacks and the flow like wasabi, ain't nobody cold as I be. Cause most these niggas rapping, faking the funk and looking sloppy like Joe's. I eat them up, I got the munchies. Then sip the juice, play the cut, hella comfy. Like one to the two to the three to the four. Who the nigga with the super funky playlist, they flow.